Let's take our Bibles now and turn to Psalm 119, beginning with verse 17. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 17. We have an acrostic psalm. You'll notice that it's divided into 22 sections. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. Ours has 26. But each section begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So therefore, when you get to Gimel, which would be compared to the letter G, as it were, in our language, you'll see that verses 17 through 24 in the original language would begin with the letter Gimel. We've chosen as our theme verse for our title, The Pathway to Spiritual Understanding. Notice verse 18, one of my favorite verses in the Psalms. It's a prayer for pastors. It's a prayer for Bible teachers. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's a prayer that I have every time I open God's Word. You know, when we talk about spiritual understanding, that's not going to take place until you learn to spend time with God. A husband and a wife will never grow close together in intimacy until they learn to spend time communicating and communing together in conversation. God does not have His favorites, but He does have His intimates. Those who have chosen as the goal of their life to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I want to ask you tonight, how is it with you and your soul? How is it with you and your relationship with the Lord? Do you spend sweet time communing with Him in the Word of God? You know, the Bible speaks to us of men like Enoch who walked with God. And the time came when he took a good long walk with God, and perhaps God said, Enoch, you're a little bit closer to heaven than you are here on earth. Why don't you just kind of come and stay with me? And the Bible tells us he was not. The Lord translated him into his presence. Elijah was a man who practiced the presence of the Lord. He believed in fervent prayer, and God used him mightily. Abraham was called in the book of James 2:23 a friend of God. He was privileged to the intimate time of receiving the tables of the law in Mount Sinai. We speak of Moses, who was a man who God spoke to face as a man speaks to his friend in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. I think oftentimes of Matthew 17, the Mount of Transfiguration experience, where Peter, James, and John, alone, from all of the other chosen apostles, they were the ones to have that privileged place to receive a special revelation from God. So therefore, as we read the words, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, we see the theme of this passage tonight as we observe it. The theme is spiritual understanding. This is a good verse, not only for Bible teachers and pastors, but for all true believers in God. You know, as we look at Psalm 119, we see that the Word of God accomplishes seven things in the Psalm 119. For instance, if you look at verse 37 of Psalm 119, you'll notice that the Word of God revives the heart because it says, quicken thou me in thy way. God's Word quickens. Look at verse 40. It says, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. The word quicken means make alive. Is your spiritual battery down? Have you ever gotten into your car, ladies, and you go to turn the key, and you turn it, and you hear nothing? Or perhaps you hear click, 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 the solenoid, you know, turn. And uh-oh, and then sometimes you just turn it, and you hear absolutely nothing. It's a scary feeling to be alone. And in a big parking lot, perhaps at night, no cell phone, and all of a sudden, your battery is totally dead. You know, that kind of describes a lot of Christians that need the quickening of the Spirit in their life. Are you discouraged, downtrodden? The Bible says it will quicken you. It quickens you unto life eternal. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But God's word will also recharge your batteries. It'll recharge your home. It'll recharge your relationship with yourself and the Lord. And that's what we need to spend time in the word of God. God's word will also provide the abundant life. When you look at verse 50, it says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Verse 54 says, God's word gives you a song in your heart. Do you need a song in your heart? Are you walking along with your chin dragging on the road? Look at verse 54. It says, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." You know, when you read the promises of God and you claim them for yourself, you'll have a song in your heart. Also, God's word gives wisdom. Look at verse 98. Verse 98 says, God's word will give you wisdom. It says, "Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than my enemies." And not only that, but it says you can have more understanding than your teachers, verse 99, and you can have more understanding than the philosophers of old, the ancients, verse 100. God's word, a firm grasp of God's word, will make you wise and give you wisdom. Did you know that in colleges across our nation in the 18th century, theology was called the queen of the sciences? And Harvard and Princeton and Yale were established for the purpose of training individuals for the gospel ministry and a firm grasp of the Word of God, the queen of the sciences. God's Word will also provide understanding, verse 100, more than the ancients. It'll provide guidance. Look at verse 105. It says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Are you seeking God's will, God's direction? You're going to college, and for the first 2 years, you're going to be taking general ed requirements. But you know, you have to start now zoning in on a major, and you want to see and you want to seek God's face as to where and in what direction He would have you to go. Or perhaps you're seeking God's will for a life's partner. You're seeking God's direction to lead you as to where to live, where to move, what job to take, what ministry to take up in a local church. God's Word will provide guidance for you. The Word of God says it's a light for us in our path, a lamp unto our feet, our light unto our path. And look at Psalm 130. The Word of God tells us that God's Word sheds light for us. The entrance of thy words gives light. You know, when we are seeking direction, oftentimes we sit under the sound of the Word, and the Spirit of God can take a verse and just have it stand out to us. How many times has that happened in my personal devotions when I'm seeking God's will and I'm seeking an answer, and then suddenly in the middle of the night, the Lord gives me a verse that just causes me to sit up and take notice, and it ministers to my heart. Or in the morning, as I'm reading the Word, God gives me a verse that speaks to me. It sheds light. Now, let's go back to our portion of Scripture in verse 17 through 24. And we want to just give you a little bit of an outline as to, I try to do that with every portion of our psalm so that you have an outline to hang your thoughts as you look at the subject of spiritual understanding. We're going to have a five point outline towards the pathway to spiritual understanding. Now, verse 17 provides the prerequisite to spiritual understanding. You know, if we want spiritual understanding, there is going to be a price to pay. I remember I was getting some items at the health food store, and in comes a guy that's shaped like a big V. I mean, he probably had a 28-inch waist and a 54-inch chest, and he looked like Mr. T minus the jewelry. And he was a big guy. And he was buying a huge, I'd never seen such a big container. It was almost as big as some of those popcorn containers that you folks get me for Christmas, you know. One of these big tins, you know. He had a huge container of powdered protein. And he came up and plopped it on the desk, and I began talking with him. And I told him, I said, if I take some of that stuff, how long will it take me to look like you? Some of you might say, Pastor John, how could you have the gall to ask that? I was just kidding. And then he was one of the most vain people I had ever seen. You could tell that he was the kind of guy that shaved his whole body, you know. And he was the kind of guy that just looked, the guy that likes to look in the mirror, you know. And anyway, he said, well, I'll have you know that it's more than just what's in this container that makes me the way I am. Oh, okay. And he started telling me about his routine. And so I just said, thank you, and walked. But, you know, basically what he was saying was this. If you're going to look like me, there's a price you got to pay. And quite frankly, I don't think I'd want to pay that price. If you look at my arms, I don't think I'd do very well with a razor blade, and I'm not about to spend all of that money on those huge protein things, lest my children languish and never eat. But the truth of the, and besides, you know, hey, the truth of the matter is, what's the prerequisite here? What is the prerequisite to spiritual understanding? Keeping the word. Look at verse 17. Here the psalmist says, deal bountifully with thy servant. You know, that's what you're asking for. You're asking for God's blessing and his work in your life. But I ask you, you know, you want to live the abundant life. You want to find God's blessing and have God's bountiful blessing. But it says here, hey, it says here, keep thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. You know, we need to learn to keep God's word. That's the pathway to receiving the blessings from the Lord. The prerequisite to understanding, obedience to the word of God. Simple and yet profound, but it costs a price. I see Michelle play the piano, and how many times have all of us said, oh man, I wish I could play that piano, that organ, that harp, that flute, whatever, that way. But you know what I'm really saying? I want to be able to do it, but I don't want to pay the price. Because there was a price to get there. When other kids were playing, Michelle was practicing, weren't you? A little playing once in a while too, but she worked at it, didn't she? There were times when maybe, you know, took a little bit of self-discipline to get back there and play when she wanted to do something else. There's a price to pay to accomplish something. Self-discipline. And such is the case here, keeping the word of God. Now, what's the purpose? Look at verse 18. We've seen the prerequisite to spiritual understanding, obedience, keeping the word. But what's the purpose behind spiritual understanding? Is it so that you can impress people with how much you know? Oh, wow. You got to go to hear this preacher. He's the only one who has the answers. He's Mr. Fundamentalism. Wow. No, you know, our desire is to convey God's word. You know, the Greeks had the mythological gods, small g. And the Greeks had a god called Hermes. And Hermes' job was to communicate from Mount Olympus to the masses, the ignorant masses, the dictates of Apollos and Zeus. And Hermes was the god that the Romans called Mercury. And Glenn, you're a body shop man. Remember the old Mercury emblem, the helmet with the wings through which the god could fly, Hermes, called Mercury by the Romans. He would fly from Mount Olympus to the people and speak for God. Well, we have a responsibility of conveying God's holy word without compromise, without any type of modification. That's where you get hermeneutics from, the biblical doctrine of Bible interpretation. Anybody who's going to go into the ministry will study hermeneutics, biblical interpretation. And what does that mean? We are to study God's word in its historical, grammatical, original languages so that we can convey the original intent of the writers and, of course, the Holy Spirit that inspired them. We cannot read into what they say, 20th century culture. We are to interpret the original intent in the context in which it occurs, and then from there make application. A proper application stems from a correct interpretation. There are many applications, but there is only one interpretation. The interpretation is the intent of the Spirit of God in the context in which it was written. Too many times we get that mixed up. You hear a lot of preachers that give application, but no interpretation. Have you ever heard people say, well, I never ever heard or saw that in the Scripture? When you hear somebody say that, it's probably because it's not there. Be careful about the danger of Athenianism, always wanting to hear something new. Well, we need to ask ourselves, is it biblical first? Okay, that is important. The purpose behind spiritual understanding is the glorification of God and the communication of God's word. Now, in verses 19 and 20, we see the problem. You know, there's problems in life, and the psalmist faced his problems as well. My soul breaks for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Notice in verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. We're going to face problems. But you know what better way to face problems than with this book and to be in God's word? God promises understanding. Now, in verse 21, we have the principle that the psalmist realizes. It says, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. There's a biblical principle that when we err from God's commandments, and that means to go off course, we are then going to suffer for the fruit of our disobedience. And the proud are cursed because they err from the commandments of the Lord. And I pray for the United States of America. I want to exhort you this evening to pray for our country. Pray for our civil rulers that we might not err from the commandments that our country was built upon. Oh, remove not the ancient landmarks which our fathers have established. Our country was built upon the Word of God. You cannot help but go to the Supreme Court and see the references. They are myriad to the law of Moses and biblical portraits. And there are people today that are trying to divorce our country from spiritual truths and their foundation of the Word of God. And then let's just quickly conclude our study and look at verses 22 through 24 there's a prayer that he makes. We've seen a prerequisite in verse 17. We've seen a purpose behind spiritual understanding. We've seen the problem that the psalmist faced, the principle that he gleans. But notice the prayer that he makes in verse 22. This is his prayer, and it's a threefold prayer. He has a request in verse 22. He has a reaction in verse 23, and he has a response in verse 24. Notice his request. It's a request for spiritual protection. He says this, "Remove me, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies." He's asking for God's protection. Notice his reaction to those who criticize him in verse 23. "Princes also did sit and speak against me." That's going to happen, by the way. You take a stand for God's word and you're going to rub people the wrong way. You know what I say when the dog complains about being rubbed the wrong way? I say, turn the dog around. And that's what we need to do to society. If society feels that the word of God is rubbing her the wrong way, then we need to turn things around. We don't need to compromise the word of God. When we take a stand, when we seek spiritual understanding, which is the theme of this verse and this section, princes are going to speak against us. But what's the solution? Keep on meditating in the word of God, the statutes of God's word. Young person, you can go to a Christian school. Listen to me. You can go to a Christian school and have roommates that are scorners and mockers against the word of God. And they'll despise authority. They'll make fun of rules and regulations. And you know what? Their heart is really in rebellion against God, not a school or a handbook. They're actually rebelling against all authority. And if you were to examine a little deeper, they're probably in rebellion against the authority of their church and the authority of God, the authority of their pastor, the authority of parents, and it's being manifested in that way. But when we are evil spoken of, let's be like Daniel, let's be like Joseph, let's purpose in our hearts that we're not going to defile ourselves, and let's meditate in the statutes of God's word. That's his reaction. If we're going to have spiritual understanding, let's properly respond and be driven to the word of God for his principles. Then notice his response based on the word in verse 24. "Thy testimonies are my delight," and notice, "and my counselors." When you have a problem, before going to your pastor, before going to even your wife or your husband, have you taken time to speak to the Comforter, the Holy Spirit? Have you been driven to the Word of God? I used to have a teacher. Every time in seminary, I asked him a Bible question. And we had 2-hour classes, and we had a 10-minute break in between. And everybody would go for coffee and donuts, but I'd run to the desk, and I'd be asking the professor every question that I could think of. I wanted to get my money's worth out of my tuition, you know. I didn't realize the poor guy had to go down the hall, you know, if you know what I'm saying. But I, you know, in my youth, I was going to get all the answers. And he always would tell me, "Well, John, that's a very good question. I'd like for you to do some study, and you give me the answer tomorrow. I'll be waiting." He'd always do that. He'd always say, "Hey, that's a good question. What conclusions have you come up with?" He never gave me the answer. And he'd always lead me to find the answer. And maybe that's a good thing to do. A dad comes up to me and says, "You know, we've been studying the Bible, my wife and I. We've come up with this question. How do you see it?" You know, I'm going to start saying, rather than just give an answer, I'm going to start saying, "You know, what conclusions have you come up with? Let's see if we can, I'll give you a corner of the sheet, and you pick up the other three, and let's see if we can arrive at the answer through the Word of God." God's Word needs to be our counselor. There's a place for counselors. But you know, too often we run to men rather to the Word of God. Let's not forget the priesthood of the believer, folks. I don't have a corner on the market on interpreting God's Word or finding God's will. Every believer is a priest, and we need to exercise that gift and that access before the Lord. Let's ask for spiritual understanding. Will you pray that prayer tonight as we go to prayer? Open mine eyes, Lord, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy laws. Lord, when I have my devotions in the Word, I want you to speak to me, and I'll keep on reading until you do speak to me. And you know, let that wrestling turn to clinging like it did in Jacob's life, and receive that blessing that he has for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word, and thank you for the spiritual understanding that it gives us. And that, Lord, you can give us abundant life and a song in our heart, wisdom, guidance, understanding. And Lord, every one of us in whatever stage in life, we certainly need it every day. So, Father, I pray that you would bless our prayers as we go before the throne of grace. I pray that as we continue in this psalm, that you would demonstrate to us the critical need of being in the Word of God daily for guidance and direction. Thank you, Lord, that while you do not have your favorites, you do have your intimates, and that you desire to draw us close to yourself in that place where we can commune with your Spirit and see wondrous things out of thy Word. So, Lord, may that be our portion even this week. May we hunger and thirst after righteousness, knowing the promise from your Word that we can be filled. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.